Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in 1 Corinthians as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
We got to go back a couple thousand years ago to the city of Corinth. There was a couple problems here. First of all, to take part in any social event in the city of Corinth involved in eating in public. In other words, they're not eating at home. They're in a social gathering. We think of if they have something at the Civic Center or something, everybody goes and gathers and have a big meal for everybody. It was known as common meals. And that food came from the temple that had went to the markets and they bought the meat at the market. And now they're serving it at these social functions. And remember, as believers, you have to be real careful of what we do attend. I mean, you got to be careful. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. But yet, we're not to become Amish and isolate ourselves where we cannot impact others. So I'm saying there's that line. You have to be careful where you walk. You don't become like them, but yet you cannot separate yourself from them as far as being around them. If not, we become isolationist, and then we can't affect nobody. So that was the problem in Corinth. These believers are having maybe they're invited to some social feast or something. As a believer, the husband and wife, man, they don't have meat there, and it came from the temple. Can we eat it? That was the first. The second problem was this. A great percentage of the meats were sold in the marketplace, had been offered to idols. So they want to go to Publix. They didn't have Publix back then. You get the point. They want to go to these meat markets. And they want to buy good meat. And by the way, some of the choicest meat came from that temple. Because you know how all that worked? The priest would get his first cut. They would burn it. The fat and all offered to their unknown gods and all. Then they'd take the meat. The priest would get what he wanted, and the rest of it would go to the market. And there's so many sacrifices. Obviously, the priest can only eat so much. So most all that meat went to the markets, and the temple received the money. They would sell it to the marketplace. You get the picture. So here's these believers. They weren't vegetarians. I want to eat some meat. Matter of fact, I read it again in Colossians this morning. In some of my Bible reading about anything placed before you, give it with thanks, you know, whether there's crickets or spiders or what they eat and wherever they eat, whatever they eat, whatever it is, you know, whatever. Give thanks because everything, God's creation. Oh, by the way, remember Peter. And that, wasn't it Peter, that dream that there was a sheet, had all these animals and God said, I want you to kill and eat. And Peter said, I can't do that. They're unclean. And God said, hey, whatever I call clean, you know, remember, you've got the picture. Okay. So this is the struggle that these Corinthian believers had, the weaker ones. I want to eat some meat, but man, I can't eat meat. It's been offered these idols, these sacrifices. You get the picture. Paul, what do we do about this? How can we deal with this situation? And he begins to answer this in verse number 4. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Remember he said in verse number 1 that we all have knowledge? He reemphasizes that again in verse number 4. We know these things, that an idol is nothing. The word nothing means vain. It's empty. There's nothing to it. And that there is none other God but one. Indeed, when it says I have this marked. I'm going to read this. In Isaiah 43, speaking of the gods, that they are nothing. Isaiah 43, verses 13 through 17. I have time. I want to share this with you. Isaiah 44. Okay. is speaking about idols of wood. Remember, Paul said they're nothing. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it with a line. Now, he's going to build an idol. He's going to carve an idol. Isaiah's talking. Are you there? Yeah, okay. 44 is 4. I'm sorry, Greg. It's 44:13. 44:13. The carpenter stretches out his rule, his tape measure. And he marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. And he marketh it out with a compass. And he maketh it the figure of a man according to the beauty of the man, that it may remain in the house. He's doing a piece of artwork, a sculpture. He heweth down cedars, these good, beautiful trees, the finest wood, and taketh the cypress and the oak. He ain't getting some old little scrawny scrub oak, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Florida people know we're talking about these old scrawny. He's getting cypress, he's getting oak, he's getting cedars, good quality wood, which he strengthened for himself among the trees of the forest. He planted an ash, and rain doth nourish it. He's thinking about the future. Then shall it be for a man to burn. Here's the interesting thing. The same wood that he makes his idol with, the same exact wood, he burns it, he kindles it. He warms himself by this fire. He cooks his food with the same wood that he made an idol. Oh, it says that. He warms himself, he kindles it, he baketh bread. Yeah, he maketh a god, and he worships it. He maketh a graven image, and he falleth down thereto. He burneth part of it with the fire, and with part of it he eateth his flesh. He roasteth and is satisfied. He warmeth himself, says, aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire. And the residue thereof, he maketh a god. What's left over? I'll make a god. Even his grave is empty. And he falleth down unto it and worship it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. Isn't that foolish? In Isaiah 46, Greg, we'll get this one, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 46, 1 through 7. Again, when Paul said, we know idols are nothing. This is interesting. I love this. Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth, and their idols were upon beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. Your carriages were heavy loaden, and they are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are going into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob. Now, these are God's people, these Israelites who are worshiping idols. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which carried from the womb, even to your old age, I'm he. I'm here to take care of you. God is speaking. And even to whore hairs. That's what white hair we got here, okay? Will I carry you? I have made, and I will bear you. I will even carry you, and I will deliver you. God says, I will do this for you. But these idols, here, what? I want you to compare. To whom will you liken me and make me equal? Compare me that ye may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag, and they weigh silver in the balance, and they hire a goldsmith, and they make it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him. They set him in place. He standeth, and from his place he shall not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, and yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. I could go on and on. Other passages of scripture talks about his idol falling over, and he has to pick him back up. They're God. Who would want a god that falls over and you have to pick him back up? Their idol they had to carry. My God carries me. Their idol was a burden to bear. We just read it. If the beasts were loading down, it was a burden to bear. But Jesus Christ, my God, says, I'll bear your burdens. He bears me. Take my yoke. Come unto me, all ye that are laden. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. What a contrast.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, for now, until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.